We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Visit
mte.com.
Middle Tennessee Electric.
Serving to make life better
since 1936.
This is WGNS Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers
since 1947.
This is WGNS Action Line. Now your host, Scott Walker.
This morning in studio, we do have a cardiologist with us, and if you have any heart-related questions, feel free to text those in, 615-893-1450. We have got with us Dr. Subi Azuz. Also, we have Daphne David, President and CEO of St. Thomas here in Rutherford County. Starting off this morning, Daphne, tell us a little bit about your background, because I know this is your first time to be with us on the air.
Well, good morning. I am thrilled to be here, Daphne David. I have been in healthcare for 26 years and have recently joined the St. Thomas family about 6 months ago. And this is the best part of my career so far. And I am thankful to be in the Murfreesboro area and becoming part of the community and the Rutherford County family here is pretty amazing so far.
Where were you originally?
I'm originally from South Mississippi, far south as you can go, Biloxi. And most of my family remains in that space. I have lived across the country a few times, and we've moved most recently about 4 years ago from Denver, Colorado.
Kind of chilly there.
It's a little chilly, especially this time of year, of course. And I have a husband and two boys. They're 10 and 15.
This your first time to live in Tennessee then?
We've lived here about 4 years.
Okay.
In the East Tennessee area. And we have recently purchased some land in Christiana, and we're building to make this our permanent home.
Very cool. So out of all the places you've been, if you've been here for 4 years, you may have lived other places a little bit longer, but where is your favorite so far?
Here, Murfreesboro.
Absolutely, that's right.
Yeah, Rutherford County, by hands down.
And then, Doctor, tell us a little bit about your background and where are you from and how long have you been with St. Thomas?
Sure. I recently also moved from Colorado, even though we haven't met. You know, I was on the western side of that state, and Daphne was in the Front Range.
It's a big state.
I know, yeah. So it's funny. We were just chatting about that before this. Good morning, and thanks for having me here. And my name is Subi Azuz. I'm an interventional and structural cardiologist. Originally, you're going to take me back a lot of years now. Originally, I grew up in Syria, born and grew up in Syria, and did my med school at Damascus University. And that was years ago. I graduated in 2008. At that time, decided to seek a career in cardiology and interventional cardiology here in the U.S. Just like a lot of people who work in healthcare, is you know, there's a personal always a story, and it's always like an answering and a call. So my dad started having issues with his heart, and that drew me to kind of read and learn more about heart disease as I was in my final years of med school, and that's really what kind of drew me into cardiology. Fast forward, trained in Nebraska, and then Birmingham, Alabama, UAB is where I did my training for interventional and structural cardiology, which is typically known as the plumbers of the heart kind of thing. So if you have blockages in your heart arteries, if there's a heart attack, this is where, if you've ever heard the word stent, you know, that's what interventional cardiology does. And the inside the heart, there's valves and structures and walls, and you know, there's holes in the heart that needs plugged, or valves that are leaky or tight, you know, that's you know, being replaced minimally invasively. That's the structural cardiology part. So I did that training in Birmingham, and then moved to Colorado for my first job, but married from Birmingham before moving to Colorado. So once you marry from the South, you got to come back to the South.
That's
so,
right.
So, you know, with that, we were just chatting about, you know, got two young kids, 3.5 and 1.5. And we thought this is the best time to move before they enroll in schools. And we wanted to be in an area that's got a lot of family in Chattanooga, my wife's family in Alabama. We wanted to be in a place kind of like in the middle between both families, that is very family-oriented, good school system, good weather. And even when I lived in Birmingham, we made a lot of trips to Tennessee, and I just loved the area. I loved the area here. So finally, we're here. I've been here since August, and it's been great.
Sounds good. And I guess the weather in Birmingham is similar to what we see here as far as the seasons and everything, so you were already equipped for that.
Yep. And we're not missing the cold and the snow a lot, so, I mean, this has the perfect balance of all four seasons. I you know, love having the rain back and the fall, and I mean, love every season here, so it's been great.
It sounds like both of you guys have some interesting backgrounds from different areas, which probably helps out, because Rutherford County is really a melting pot of folks from literally all over the world. I don't know if y'all, in other places you've lived, is it the same type of atmosphere where you do have people from all over the place?
You know, that was my experience. We lived in Jacksonville, Florida, but what makes this different from my perspective is the history and the depth of the community, the hands-on approach, the true care and compassion. This community feels different. They support St. Thomas Rutherford Hospital in ways that I've never seen in my career in the past. And then the community just gives back so much more. And so that has inspired me to do better even each day throughout the hospital and the things that we focus in on to save lives and give back to our community. It makes us want to work harder.
We already have a few questions texted to us, but before we get to those, I'm curious, Daphne, what are some of your goals for the hospital, for like West Lawn and St. Thomas Rutherford in the future? And of course, the idea of having an extended emergency room, perhaps in the Las Casas area, because we've heard talks about that.
Yeah, thank you for asking. As we continue to evaluate what the community needs, our goal is to bring care to each community so they're not having to go far outside of the area to get the care that they need. So similar to what we've done in the West Lawn campus is a neighborhood hospital. It is a freestanding ER as well as inpatient beds. We will be moving forward, ideally, providing we gain approval on December the 10th from the CON Hearing Commission.
That's pretty soon then.
That is very soon. We're excited about what that is going to provide to the community. And off of Las Casas Pike and Pitts Lane, we plan to build a freestanding ER, freestanding emergency department with 10 beds, including a trauma room, to provide the immediate care for that community as it continues to grow. And so that is something that is a priority for us, to evaluate areas within our community, again, to get care to those who need it the most. To bounce back over to West Lawn, one thing that we are doing in that space on that second floor is adding an outpatient cardiology department. So individuals like Dr. Azuz and his partners can provide care in that area, so they're not having to come into Murfreesboro even for that type of care, to include imaging as well.
I wanted to mention, because we saw something that was kind of unusual, at least we thought it was, and that is the Rutherford County Commission, they pushed forth a resolution supporting the ERs, the standalone ERs, both in the Las Casas area and then the other one, I believe TriStar, which is in the area of Warrior Drive and South Church. But they made a point, the commissioner made a point, who presented it, made a point to say, you know, both of these hospital corporations are coming together in order to better the health services and everything in Rutherford County. And they were saying they had not seen that before, where these two different, totally different companies came together in order to have this idea of the standalone ERs. Have you ever seen that before?
I have not seen that quite like this in our community, and it is definitely beneficial because we both recognize that patients come first and the needs of our community come first.
It seemed pretty positive. Dr. Azuz, heading to you, one of the questions we had here, and folks can text us at 615-893-1450. It was about the traditional foods in the South, because as we all know, there's a lot of foods that are good, but they're not necessarily good for us. And it was specifically asking about fried chicken, biscuits, sweet tea as well. How do these foods impact long-term health, and what are some of the healthier swaps we could do but still eat Southern?
Boy, that's a tough one. I'm not sure you want me to give you the medically honest answer or the
scary,
politically correct
the scary answer.
You know, rule of thumb, you know, if it tastes good, it's not good for your health. Joke aside, I mean, there is truth to that. And of course, what we eat and what we put into our bodies is going to get ingested, digested, processed, and then is going to get deposited in our organs, head to toe. So it affects brain, affects heart, affects all the other organs. And my specialty, there's been a lot of studies about diet, from pure vegan to vegetarian to Mediterranean to typical American diet, traditional, you know, including all the fried and processed food. And there was a study a few years ago, a large population study. The healthiest food was a pescatarian diet. So it was a vegetarian-based, plant-based, a lot of Mediterranean, that's your olive oil and green leaves and this and that, and then fish. So if you're asking what is the healthiest diet for the heart, that's, as far as we are aware, that's the diet that people did the best from blood pressure, stroke, and heart attacks. However, I understand food is one of the joys of life. So we typically say, you know, I'm not gonna tell you absolutely don't eat this or that, but I tell my patients, let's make a deal. You wanna eat something that you know deep down is not healthy, go and exercise, burn it out. Give me 30 minutes a day of moderate cardio exercise and you could cheat.
Yeah.
I feel like that works a little bit better than saying absolutely don't do that or don't do this.
So doing something like walking around your neighborhood, you know, maybe a mile a day, 2 miles a day, would that count as moderate exercise for each day?
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, we need a moderate cardio exercise about 30 minutes a day. Some folks can do a mile and some folks can do 3 miles with that. It really doesn't matter. It matters that the duration where you're putting that cardio system to work in at a moderate intensity. We don't ask people to go run marathons or do something extremely strenuous, but it's not also light. It's enough to get your heart rate up a little bit, get you sweating a little bit. We usually say exercise so that you can't maintain a full sentence of speech at a comfort level. So you're a little bit short of breath, you know, you gotta catch your breath in between words. That's how you know you're burning calories and you're exercising your heart and circulation system.
Over the past 12 months, we've seen several news stories about tick-borne illnesses and alpha-gal being the number one that we've heard a lot about over the past 12 months or so. And with alpha-gal, of course, you cannot eat any pork, beef, or mammalian-type products. Is that something that you're seeing in your practice, or have you started to see that more?
So as you know, I recently moved to this area. I don't have a lot of personal experience treating these patients. However, funny enough, you mentioned that I literally just was dealing with a patient just a few weeks ago. That was my first time actually seeing it here in the South. I'm not really the expert in autoimmune and allergic diseases, but the one thing I tell you, yeah, I mean, if we tell people, if you feel like you eat something and it's making you feeling sick, there might be a story behind it. It might be worth investigating that. Good news is a lot of these, they actually resolve with time and avoidance, and some of those will unfortunately stay with folks for a long time, but some people can actually outgrow some of these allergies.
That's great. I was going to say it's like a forced diet plan
yep.
for you to avoid perhaps some foods that aren't so good for you.
Yep.
Another question we had here was talking about, in your local practice, what are the most common heart issues that you are seeing among patients? And because you came from the Alabama area, I guess fairly recently, you probably see a lot of the same issues that you're going to be seeing here.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. There are similarities. There's the heart is really interesting, and that's honestly probably why I love my job. There's a lot of moving pieces to the heart. It has the electrical system, the plumbing system, the inside part and the outside part, and it's a really smart organ. It does a lot of things, and it can take a lot of beating before it starts giving you signs. And one of the things I do in the interventional cardiology hat that I wear is treating patients with heart attacks. That's somebody's having chest pain or pressure on their chest area, and they come to the hospital, and we find out that there's a blockage in their heart arteries. And that's a condition typically we treat sometimes with medicine. Sometimes we go in there and put a stent, and sometimes people require open heart surgery. Another thing in the office, we see all the high blood pressure, the difficult to control blood pressure, the elevated cholesterol, some heart rhythm disorders, electricity disorders of the heart, if you want to call it that way, like heart that like atrial fibrillation, which is an irregularity in the heart rhythm. And then my other subspecialty that I'm very excited about being here and starting some of these services here locally in Murfreesboro is the structural heart, which is the minimally invasive heart procedures without requiring open heart surgery. These are things like replacing the aortic valve. It's called TAVR. Traditionally, you would have open heart surgery to get an aortic valve replaced, and now we can go through a relatively small catheter through the groin and replace that valve, in addition to some other procedures like, again, as I said, closing holes in the heart, something called PFO, and is a procedure called Watchman, which is an appendage closure. So folks who have the need for being on a blood thinner because of atrial fibrillation, but they can't take the blood thinner because of bleeding or they trip and fall, we go and plug this tiny little structure in the heart called the appendage with a procedure called Watchman. And that's hopefully coming soon here, so folks don't have to drive to Nashville or anywhere else to get that taken care of.
We also had somebody who said they're about to get a stent and they're wondering how painful that process is, and do they put you to sleep for it?
Yeah, that's a good question. And you know, personally, just as I said, you know, what got me into cardiology is a personal cause. Sometimes in the midst of the moment, and we get busy, we kind of forget to go and address the basics with patients. So I'm glad this question actually was brought up. This is a minimally invasive procedure, so we do it pretty much every day here at Rutherford. That being said, it's a big deal for somebody, you know, waking up in their bedroom and thinking about it, I'm going to get a heart procedure, what is it going to look like? So most of the time, these are minimally invasive procedures. We typically go through the wrist with a small catheter and send the wire all the way through the arm to the heart.
So you go through the wrist?
Through the wrist, yeah. We sometimes obviously still have to go through the groin if the wrist artery is small or for other reasons. And then we do them under what we call it mild or conscious sedations. The common verbiage we use is twilight sleepy, sleepy enough so you're comfortable and not really hurting and not going, you know, through suffering during the procedure, but also awake enough that we don't need to put a tube down your throat. Maybe we just put you on a little bit of oxygen. A lot of times when we finish, we tell folks we're done. They're like, nope, you haven't even started yet. I'm like, well, that tells you, you know, it's not really a major thing. And, you know, these take sometimes between 30 to 60 minutes, sometimes a little bit longer or shorter. It depends on how it goes. But for the most part, these are not major procedures from the toll they take on your body or from a sedation standpoint. And a lot of times people go home the same day. We just ask them to take it easy on the wrist or the groin for a few days, and then they're back up doing their things.
That's good to hear. And Daphne, this one I say more geared towards you because it's asking, is there space available for St. Thomas Rutherford to build upwards? At one point, there were still floors that weren't finished yet at St. Thomas Rutherford, but I don't know that that's the case anymore, is it?
Not currently. We do have the opportunity to build up. We are currently expanding our third floor to, if you're facing the hospital, it's going to be on the right side. And we're going to be adding a fourth floor to that as well for shelled space for the future growth of the facility. And then we can go up to seven floors in that space.
Okay.
And so there is still an ability to build up a little bit more.
Now, at St. Thomas Westlawn, that one, the second floor is not finished, and that's what's being finished right now, I guess.
That's correct.
And that's going to be, is it going to be specifically for cardiology?
It is.
It is.
Yes, okay. The entire floor.
That's positive to hear. So you'll have a full cardiology floor there at Westlawn, but then also at St. Thomas Rutherford. You guys have a lot of cardiology there too.
We do. And since Dr. Azuz has joined our team, he is completing that complement to our cardiac surgeons, Dr. Hoffman and Dr. Clements, and to do these procedures that he's been referring to. This is a great opportunity for Rutherford to be able to provide services that historically you've had to go downtown for. And so as we're supporting our local community, this also benefits the outlying facilities as well that may not have cardiac services like we do. It does prevent individuals from having to go all the way into Nashville. And so that's another one of our goals, is to ensure not only are we expanding into communities, but are we offering the acuity and the high level of care that we can to help support our surrounding areas.
While some people listening may say, well, it wasn't a big deal for me to drive to Nashville, the problem is, and I've seen this personally with friends of mine who have had procedures done, the problem is when you have to drive home after the procedure, it is a very uncomfortable ride home if you just had a procedure done. So the fact that you're able to do this closer to home, it does make a huge difference for those having any type of surgical procedure.
It does. And if you're in the hospital for a few days and family comes to visit you, it creates challenges for all involved.
Definitely.
If you're having to drive north on I-24 at any given time of the day.
Yeah. Again, our number 615 893-1450. But this next question asks about weight loss. It says they're currently taking one of the shots in order to lose weight. And I guess there's, what, two shots on the market right now that are really popular? But was it Mejorno? And there's another one, too.
Yeah, there are several now. Those are called the GLP agonists, like Ozempic was the one that most folks have heard about, and Wegovy and Mounjaro, and there's a couple more, I think. And the way they were trialed, they're pretty much similar from a chemical slash medicine standpoint, but some were kind of more focused towards diabetes and some were more focused towards weight loss and some other things. And they're newer medications and they're great medicines. They work for weight loss. They work for controlling diabetes. This is not new. Like, we know if you lose weight, your blood pressure is going to be better. Your heart health is going to be better. You're going to breathe better. You're going to be more fit. And you're going to kind of break that vicious cycle where, you know, if you can't exercise because your knees hurt, because your weight is a little bit over, but then you can't exercise because your knee hurts, then your heart is in a bad shape. So they help you break this cycle. We don't know much about the 10 and 20 and 30 year like side effect, just like anything else. And this is very important in my daily practice, and I think everybody else here too and my group is, we have to be realistic. You know, there is no perfect medicine. I tell patients we're born maybe 500, 200, 100 years earlier than we need to. One day we will have the perfect medicine. We'll have all the perfect effects and zero side effects. And we're not there yet, so we got to work together. It's a very patient-focused individualized approach. It has to be built on trust and complete transparency. These medications are great, and I do recommend them for patients. Not every single patient, but I do tell patients, as long as we're aware of the benefits and the potential side effects, just like all the other medications in the cardiovascular healthcare.
And Dr. Azuz, they were asking about the safety of those shots, and are they both about the same as far as safety and maybe side effects?
Yeah, that's another question, and another good question, and that's literally what I was kind of trying to refer to is, from a short-term side effects, a lot of folks, and again, just in full disclosure, I'm not the expert in these medications, but we do come across them quite frequently. They do have GI side effects because their job is the slow absorption of food through the gut. So nausea, constipation, diarrhea, some folks might experience abdominal cramps. So the rare but serious stuff are the inflammation of the pancreas, we call it pancreatitis. And then the long-term is there are some associations with some thyroid disorders, and you know there are some other things out there. So we don't know the long term if you're using it every day for long term. There are also multiple ways of dosages, you know, to use it once a week, twice a week, a little bit more frequent, a little bit less frequent. So they do have side effects, but it's all about risk versus benefit and what we do. And, you know, if somebody has a lot of struggle with blood pressure and overweight and other things, and it might be worth it to break that cycle again and get back. They don't substitute. We're still going to work on diet. We're still going to work on exercise. There's no perfect medicine. That's just, you know, you can still not exercise and not take care of yourself and, you know, smoke and bad diet and then say, I'm going to be healthy. It doesn't work. It's a partnership, and patients have to do their part, and we do ours too.
We need like an exercise shot, you know.
That would be perfect.
One that adds motivation to the day.
For sure. Absolutely.
It motivates you and makes you lose weight while knocking out the exercise.
And maybe
too.
It could taste like bacon if we're just going to make it perfect.
I'm going to write it on my business idea.
There we go. There we go. This other person is asking, you know, I've always struggled with weight loss, and I tend to somewhat boomerang from losing weight up to 100 pounds sometimes, and then I gain it back. How bad for this is what I'm currently doing with going up and down on weight?
Yeah, that's a tough one, because that's the struggle probably for a lot of
folks. I see a lot of people do that.
Yeah, that's the struggle. There was actually also another study that addressed this, where people were split into three groups. A group that just, they're like, we're not going to do anything. We're not going to lose weight. We're not going to exercise. It is what it is kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and then the other group was like, well, we want to lose weight. We're going to exercise. And then they were able to actually exercise and lose weight. The third group, they tried their best they exercised, they stayed active, but they just were unable to lose that weight.
That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of
people. Have that problem.
You think so? Obviously, the ones who lost some weight and exercised did the best. But not far behind those were the people who actually exercised, but they were unable to lose weight. It's a big myth when we say, well, you must lose weight, otherwise you're not going to be healthy. And then folks were like, well, I'm not losing weight, I'm going to stop exercising. I tell folks that again all the time. Please exercise.
Yeah.
There's a benefit of you moving around, getting your heart rate and your circulation up. Short and long-term benefit from heart health, from a stroke, from blood pressure, from cholesterol, even if you don't lose weight. So the last thing we want is to kind of stop exercising from frustration of not losing weight. The other part is set realistic expectation. You know, what is it? 0.5 pound a week? 1 pound a week? If you could do that consistently, then do it. It doesn't need to be 20 pounds. You know, it's not a competition for a short-term race. This is all for the long run. This is all for your health now, but actually more importantly, 10 and hopefully 20 and 30 years down the road. So if it takes you 2 years and it took somebody on social media, you know, 1 week on advertisement, 1 month, so be it, you know.
Yeah.
Let's be realistic. It's again, that's again, part of this partnership with patients and being a little bit more realistic in setting the goals and understanding it's not perfect, you know, and life is not, and you know, we understand we sometimes crave certain foods and some days we don't feel like exercising. Just get back up there. It's hard, but it's doable. A lot of folks do it.
We need that other shot that makes everybody feel perfect. That's you know, I've had friends tell me, I had my annual visit to the doctor, and the doctor told me I'm obese and need to lose, let's say, 50, 60 pounds. And I'm looking at them thinking, there's no way you need to lose that much weight. Is there an issue with some medical practices using that BMI index and telling somebody, well, you need to weigh this, even though you look at them and their structure is much broader than the average person? So I'm curious, are some doctors or nurse practitioners using that BMI index and saying to their patient, you need to lose X amount of pounds, when in reality, they probably don't need to lose as much as they're being told?
So there is truth to that, but it's way more complicated than
I can
just give you a straightforward answer, to be honest. And what I would say is also at Rutherford, we have a great bariatric office that can help patients. You know, people kind of get nervous when they hear, oh, we have a bariatric, that means we're going to have an open stomach surgery or something like that. And that's actually not necessarily the case. And most of the times they can work with you regarding diet, medications, exercise patterns and programs. And only the ones who don't benefit of that, they can offer you the whatever surgical options from minimally invasive to a little bit more invasive surgeries. I would tell patients, like, don't be afraid of talking. Doesn't hurt, you know, most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just go and talk to these doctors. Understand your body build, you know, your ideal weight, where you need to be, set a realistic goal, and address that BMI thing. Yeah, because there's this whole, you know, our build are different, and it has to be individualized. Like, you can't generalize those things.
We're all different.
If we could go back to a couple of questions ago, and gaining weight, losing weight, does that put extra stress on your heart when you bounce back up and down like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's it does. So our heart, when it grows with us to a certain age, and then after that, it's supposed to handle our body no matter how much weight we gain. So, and it's a pump. Maybe it's not the perfect analogy, but it will be like putting a four-cylinder engine in a truck.
Yeah.
And then putting the same engine in a sedan and the same engine in an SUV. You know, at some point, that engine is just not going to grow anymore.
It's underpowered.
Do you think it's going to perform the same if you put it in a truck? Obviously not. So it does stress the heart. It makes it work harder. It gets a little bit more stiff. It stresses the arteries. Makes you build plaque. It creates inflammation. It can hurt the valves from the inside. So absolutely, there's a benefit of staying within a certain range of weight and a BMI, so the heart doesn't have to overstretch. You know, you gotta take care of it so that it could take care of you on the long run.
I think that's the easiest to understand explanation, what you just said about if it's a four-cylinder engine in a big truck, it's going to be underpowered, not going to be able to push the truck. Same thing with the heart. If you get too large, gain too much weight, you've got a big problem there. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll get to this next question asking about alcohol use and how hard is that on the heart, or how good is that for the heart, going back to that two glasses of wine a day is what they used to say.
Yep.
But we'll touch base on that when we come back. And again, today we have with us from St. Thomas Rutherford and then also the Westlawn campus, we've got Daphne David and then also Dr. Azuz with us, cardiologist this morning. We're going to take a short break and then we will be right back.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
The Recycled Minute with our own Rocky the Raccoon.
Don't bottle up your creativity. Reuse it.
Teachers, students, and eco-heroes, stay-at-home moms, everybody, listen up.
You can create mini greenhouses for seedlings with water bottles.
The Recycled Minute. Here's Rocky.
You know how families go through those water bottles. They buy them by the caseload each month. Once you're finished drinking the water out of them, obviously recycle some of them, but save some of them because you can slice off the bottom of them and then place it over a small plant. It'll then trap the warmth and moisture, help your garden grow while keeping plastic out of the landfill. That's just another idea for you. I'm Rocky the Raccoon with RecycleRatTN.com.
And that's today's Recycled Minute.
And I'm out of here
with Rocky the Raccoon. Find the closest place to recycle near you by going to RecycleRatTN.com.
Together, we'll keep Tennessee beautiful.
Bigger isn't always better. When it comes to your financial institution, don't send your money to some far-off bank in another state. At Heritage South Community Credit Union, we help when others won't. We've been serving our community since 1957 and are still locally owned and operated in Middle Tennessee. If you're tired of talking to artificial intelligence and computer screens and branches, give Heritage South a try. Learn more at heritagesouth.org. Insured by NCUA.
Pizza. You in a hurry for dinner? Well, we've made it even easier to order online at SirPizzaTN.com. Tap the location nearest you and begin your carryout or delivery order at SirPizzaTN.com. You can choose from our full menu and we'll take care of the rest. A Queen's Feast is calling my name. Order Murfreesboro's favorite pizza online at SirPizzaTN.com.
SirPizza, you made me love pizza again.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
With us in studio from Ascension St. Thomas Rutherford and also the Westlawn campus, we have Daphne David, president and CEO of St. Thomas here in town. And then Dr. Azuz, he is a cardiologist. Now, again, tell us your full name in case somebody wants to look you up, set an appointment and all that good stuff. What do they need to look for?
My full name is Mohammed Subi Azuz, and they can look for cardiology near home because we are here in Murfreesboro, and we will provide folks with the best cardiac care here in Murfreesboro so they don't have to travel abroad. I'm part of a large group, St. Thomas Heart. Again, we're locally here. We work with general cardiology, interventional cardiology, that's the stenting and heart attack care, and electrophysiology, that's the pacemaker and heart rhythm disorder, and advanced heart failure. And that's when, unfortunately, the heart doesn't pump as it's supposed to. And we have Dr. Sterling here who does a great job. In addition to that, we work with heart surgery, and we've got two great surgeons, Dr. Hoffman and Dr. Clemens. So the goal is to provide a comprehensive cardiac care here locally to minimize travel for patients without compromise on the quality of care. And we all mean that, and we all do that, and we all take that very seriously.
Hey, I didn't realize we're almost out of time, but let's quickly get to the last question here about alcohol. I'll summarize it for you. What are the safety concerns with alcohol? Because at one point, you always heard two glasses of wine per day is good for your body, but some people overdo that.
Yeah.
About what?
It's always about the definition, like define a glass and define a day.
How large are the glasses
and,
of wine?
I know. And then, I just drink socially, but I'm a very social person kind of thing. So all those things. I mean, again, it's back to the same rule. Everything is okay in moderation. Excessive intake is probably not good. We, from a just pure like a guideline and a study standpoint, we say don't drink more than 2 drinks per day. Try it over a week. Don't have more than probably 6 to 8 drinks per week. Usually try to avoid hard liquor, you know, beer and wine is okay. There were older studies said red wine, like a glass of red wine a day, is good for your heart. There is part of truth to that because it does tend to increase the HDL a little bit, which is the good cholesterol that helps. But also it's partially misleading because it does come with a little bit of, you know, people tend to exceed that occasionally. And then it has some inflammatory and oxidative stress that we don't really know the balance between the benefit and the harm. So in the past, cardiologists used to recommend that actually quite frequently. We kind of backed off from doing this. So we don't recommend it. We don't discourage, you know, drinking a glass of red wine every now and then. That doesn't really have any negative impact. There's a substrate of patients where excessive drinking, more than 2 to 3 drinks a day, causes something called cardiomyopathy or heart failure, or it weakens the heart muscle. So we don't know why. I mean, it's a little bit of an interaction between alcohol and some of the muscles inside the heart. So to steer away from that risk, you know, I would say just keep it, you know, 2 drinks or less a day and maybe 3 to 4 times a week max.
And we are already out of time. But again, with us this morning from Ascension St. Thomas Rutherford and also the West Lawn Campus, we have been joined by Daphne David, President and CEO, and then also Dr. Subi Azuz, cardiologist here in town. And thank you both for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Coming up next, local news, and I believe Dalton Barrett has the latest on a horse virus that is spreading across different states here in America. We'll learn about that and much more in just a minute.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Local farmers at the Winter Spring Rutherford County Farmers Market. Local meats, vegetables, and other produce. Every Friday, 8 to noon at the Lane Agri Park in Murfreesboro. Boulevard.